veteran
and his emotional support Canadian
scream into the void about the Mormon Church. If you want to reach us, we are on Instagram at NotSoPeterPriesthood.
And you can email us at NotSoPeterPriesthood@gmail.com.
Thanks for joining us. Enjoy!
Bye!
What's that? That reminds me. Listeners, Dusty just said she has a lot of rage inside. And it just made me think of that Smashing Pumpkins song, Despite All My Rage, I'm still just
a rat in a cage. Hell yeah. Oh, I love Smashing Pumpkins.
Wow,
obviously.
Great.
Obviously.
That's shocking to me, Dusty.
I know.
Weird. That's not on brand.
I know, not at all. I have this engagement group, and we do like questions of the day to like engage with each other's posts. It's a whole thing. But anyways, somebody was like, who's your favorite artist? And the Taylor Swifts. And then I was like, who's that? Just kidding. Don't come for me. T Swift is awesome. I love her. Yes, everything's great. It's fine.
We don't want to anger the Swifties here.
Come for me. No, I do. I liked her like more country stuff back in the day. I was a fan. Yeah. The like, you know, Mormon girl. Yeah. Tears on My Guitar still like touches me in a spot.
Yeah.
Then I found music that matched how I feel inside of my soul, and there was a change. I was listening to One for the Money earlier, and my 5-year-old was like, why is the voice so scary, mommy?
Oh.
Like, is it scary, baby? He's like, he just sounds really upset. Like, yeah, he's got a lot of feelings, bud. He was like,
he's got a lot of feelings.
Like, it's good to talk about feelings, mom.
I said, yeah,
God, I'm doing a good job.
You are. All right. Well, on that note, speaking of family,
family!
See the segue.
We're getting better.
We're gonna talk about family search and
yes!
genealogy.
Okay. This is how it came up. Let me tell the story. Okay.
Yes.
So my 7-year-old is in grade one, and in their social studies chapter, or whatever, this quarter, they're talking about like family trees and like how you have ancestors and like where you come from and all this stuff. So cute, right? And mm-hmm. So I was like, oh. So I texted my mom. I texted my grandma. My grandma is like genealogy crazy. Like she has like CD-ROMs of like family tree. I don't have anything that can read a CD-ROM. So unfortunately, I am not. But anyways, so I asked her, I said, can you send me like your side of the family, like back 3 generations or whatever it was that he needed? She was like, absolutely. She included pictures.
Oh, wow.
I was like, look, this is your great-grandfather. It was so cute. But anyways, and then I was talking to my mom, and she's like, well, just go onto the church website because you can log into LDS Search. And there was a quiet moment on the phone where I was like, I remember my records.
Oh.
And she was like, oh, that's right. Guess what happens when you do that? You can't log in anymore. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah. And she's like, do you want my login? I was like, yes, please. So she gave me her login, and so I was able to log into Family Search. And then because I was in her account, I could create an account for me under her in just the Family Search, not the LDS site, obviously, but yeah. In the Family Search, I could create my own like little baby account under her. Mm-hmm. So I spent like an entire day just like going through and looking at stuff and showing my son, like, this is your. My 3rd great grandpa, so his 4th great grandpa, born in Ireland because St. Patrick's Day is coming up. And so we talked about how we have like Irish heritage. It was so much fun. But then as I was putting him to bed, he was like, well, what did they do in Ireland, mommy? And I was like, they were born and died, honey. That's all I know. And it really got me thinking about like, it's great. My grandmother has family back to like the 1500s, born in Prussia. we know nothing about these people. We know their name, their birth date, and their death date, and that is it. And the fact of whether or not their temple work has been done. We know nothing about what their day-to-day lives were. We don't know anything about their dreams or ambitions or jobs or relationships. We know nothing. And I just, it makes me really, really upset that there's so much of this focus on the temple work and there's zero to do with the culture. There's zero to do with the connection. Like, I did not know I had actually more Scottish in me than Irish until this year, because I started looking and I was like, oh, they actually, it was one family that like lived in Ireland. They're actually, they all came from Scotland to Ireland. Like, it was just, I had no idea. I had no idea. Because their temple work's been done, so why would we talk about them?
Yeah, who cares? And all you really know, like, all I know is that I came from, like, the UK and France.
Yeah.
Basically, that's where, and a little bit of, what's that? Northern Spain. Why can't I think of the...
Barcelona, I don't know.
No, it starts with a B. God damn it. That.
I don't know geography. I'm really sorry. They don't teach that in Canadian schools. We just know where the sled dogs are. That's all.
I don't even know how to search this. Let's see. I'm going to have to delete the edit this, but.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, it's my fault. Basque.
Oh, I didn't even know that was a thing. See?
Yeah, it's like a, so Northern Spain and like I didn't realize how close North Spain is to like the UK and all that. Mm-hmm. But like there was like a migration of people from like Scotland and Ireland down to Northern Spain and they became Basque people.
Oh.
And so if you go to Northern Spain, there's still a lot of like influence of Scottish heritage up there.
Oh, wow. I had no idea. Like, I've always known that we have Hungarian family. But we're from Prussia and then the country was split and like Hungary got some of it and the Ukraine got some of it and Russia got some of it.
Hungary is a big old mess. I don't even know how you would even start to understand the history of like where you came from because of how much split offs that's been.
Because I was thinking about like going, if you went on a trip to these places, but they're not those places. And like, even in my family search account, it has like a little like error code saying not a town because it doesn't exist as that. It doesn't exist as blah, 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 Prussia. It's now blah, 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 Hungary.
Yeah.
It's so when we say we're Hungarian, it's because we were given to Hungary. It's wild to think about. Mm-hmm. And then I saw that post saying that blue eyes come from like the specific people on the black.
There's one specific person that it came
tied
from.
To this one like mutant genetics. Mm-hmm. Through the mitochondrial DNA, which passes through the woman. So, like, the whole gene is genetic. It's just families and DNA, and especially coming from, like, a mother who was adopted and then found her biological family. And so that opens up a whole new world of, like, ancestry and culture. I mean, they're British, but it's still like, it's this tie. And my mom and I were talking about it and she says, I feel like I'm having an identity crisis because I thought I knew I had this identity and who I was. And now there's more to the story. And I was like, oh yeah, no, I didn't know I was Scottish. So I am right there with you. You know, or always saying like, we should go to Hungary and see our family, but we're not actually Hungarian.
Adopted side, is that?
No, that's my dad's side actually. So I am like genetically I am Hungarian or Prussian, but yeah, but like finding my mom's side, they're very British. Very British. Like the last name is a very well-known like English author. Very British. Wild. It's so wild.
Well, I mean, Taylor doesn't get much more British either, so
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
All right, so Family Search. That's how this
Sorry,
is where this came
out. Thank you for letting me like spill that out because it's been on my like heart and soul the last month or whatever.
Oh no. That's why we're talking about this right now. So I did a little search on like what Family Search is and what it came from. Like the actual company? Is it a company? The actual
conglomerate,
whatever it is. Yeah. I just don't know how to. Anyway,
we'll call it a company.
Is from a blog called Genealogy Star. The Genealogical Society of Utah, now known as Family Search, established in 1894, is an incorporated nonprofit educational institution entirely funded by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Quoting from the Family Search website, the Genealogical Society of Utah is a member of the International Council on Archives, ICA, and representatives have served on many of the ICA's committees. The society is an active participant in the International Federation of Library Associations and Institutions, IFLA, the Federation of Genealogical Societies, FGS, the Society of American Archivists, SAA, the Association for Information Image Management, AIIM, and many national and regional organizations associated with the programs of the Society. The Genealogical Society of Utah has membership in ISO, International Standards Organization, American National Standards Institute, ANSI, and other international standards organizations, and has been instrumental in setting the quality standards for microform and other preservation technologies.
Pretty incredible.
Pretty legit.
Yeah, they are like one of the top globally recognized institutions that does. Like, have you seen Do You Know Who You Are? It's like a TLC show, I think.
Yeah, I think.
Where they like take celebrities and they find their like ancestors and stuff.
Yeah.
They're involved with like those types of like situations because they have such a huge database and so much information. Ugh.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And I mean, as problematic as the church is, at least they have the genealogy and they've been able to like do all this stuff.
And honestly, when I knew that as a Mormon, I was fine with my tithing going to like that type of a thing.
Because it's important to preserve that information.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I have no issues with that.
It's history and it's culture. And like you were saying, like it's really just names and dates and whatever, but you can like get that information. Starting information of like, hey, this is my culture, and this is what my little sister has through them discovered her lineage as Polynesian and Spain, and so she's been able to like research more about those cultures and embrace that side of herself because of that.
That's incredible. I'm so happy for her. Yeah, I feel like we don't really understand who we are unless we know what made us, you know, because you have to think about it. Like these people had to exist thousands of years ago for you to exist. And so it's such a cool, like you, when you're feeling unimportant and small in the universe, and then you think like all of these people had to have lives for me to happen, that's an incredibly empowering and wonderful thing to think about.
That's a good point.
As someone who like suffers from like major depression and feels pretty worthless at times in my life, it's a good reminder of like, no, I'm important because I'm the cumulation of all these people.
That's a good point. And speaking from like a biology perspective, that just made me think of like the survival of the fittest, like all the shit that's gone through in the history of the world, and like those people survived through that. And so you're made of good genetics that have allowed you, that have pushed through those things to survive.
Yeah.
So you have the ability to survive even your worst days here. You know,
reading the dates of my Prussian family and knowing and seeing the same dates during like the pogroms that were happening and seeing my family leaving those places.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing the history of like what was happening at that time and seeing them leave, it was just this heartbreaking of like, I come from fucking badass survivors. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's such an incredibly empowering feeling to know that like Yeah, there's some legit strong people in my background.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, this is kind of a little offshoot of that, but the just because immigration is such a big topic right now, like especially in America where it's like, oh, you don't belong here. Well, I'm sorry, but all Americans are immigrants and we come from immigrants. Like there's
Yeah.
it, and this isn't our land. So
Yeah,
like
unless you're an indigenous person, you're an immigrant. Sorry.
yeah.
Sorry to break it to you.
Calm your tits.
Yeah.
and so,
Yeah, I'm only third generation Canadian on one side of my family, side of my family. Like gyrating just out of camera shot, and I don't know what's
All I
happening.
could see was a flexing arm.
Sorry, you're gonna have to edit out my like, what is happening?
I was looking and laughing, and so that's why, anyway.
Oh
That
my god,
was
it's like,
awesome.
what are you doing? What is happening?
Were we talking about? Now I don't know.
Immigration, I think.
Oh yeah. So yeah, if unless you're an indigenous person, then like this land is not, you came from an
Yeah.
immigration stock. So having a, I think knowing that is he still doing it?
Kind of weird in the kitchen now. I don't understand.
Even knowing that, like, I don't think I'm editing that out actually, because that's hilarious.
Just an insight to the chaos that is my life.
Yeah. yeah. So now I don't. Okay. All right. Dang it, your husband. All right.
No, but yeah, we all have to acknowledge that like we come from these places and we've made our lives here. And so like one of my sides of my family came, very early, and so that's colonization, and so I have to acknowledge that. Then another side of my family only came, my great grandma was the first generation born in Canada. She was born out east. So because of colonization, my family was then, and those people were able to like meet up in Canada, and I got to be here. Like that's incredible.
Yeah. All right. So one of the major programs of Family Search is to digitize and provide online access to copyrighted microfilm preserved in the Granite Mountain Records Vault. In addition, this major undertaking has been expanded to join with other record repositories to provide free services to archives and other records custodians who are interested in preserving their collections. Let's see, the Genealogical Society of Utah is separate from the Utah Genealogical Association. The Utah Genealogical Association was formally organized September 25th, 1971, and chartered December 1st, 1971, by the state of Utah as a nonprofit educational organization. The association's interests are worldwide. It is not affiliated with any religious or political organization. So, this is where I'm going to take a little turn, Dusty.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Buckle
And
up.
it's something you're familiar with because I think when I first started the podcast, I had posted this video of like of my reactions to this what was it, devotional thing with
Oh,
Russell
yeah.
M. Nelson. And anyway, if you want listeners, go to the Instagram page. It's in our, like, in the highlights. Just so if you want to reference
I love it. I remember. I remember.
that. I don't know why I put myself through that torture, but I was also like, I'm kind of glad I did now because, like, it's become kind of a thing. Like, people are still
Yeah.
talking about it.
Yeah.
So, this is, we're going to take a little trip back in time to October 2021. This is from churchnews.com. In his Sunday afternoon devotional broadcast to Latter-day Saints in Oklahoma and Kansas, President Russell M. Nelson referenced the church's $2 million donation made earlier that day to the First Americans Museum in Oklahoma City. which gave me the ick when I found out what I was watching. And I was like, wait, what? They're doing a family search for the, like, the first American, like, what? The people that you've, like, been actively, like, the Mormons have actively.
Yeah.
I just listened to an episode of Not So Molly Mormon.
Not So Molly Mormon. I just listened to
it. Massacre and how they completely just, like, obliterated people and, like, discuss, like, abhorrent behavior that these, they, like, mutilated their bodies and did all this stuff to them, and yet, but like, here's the family search.
$15 million
so you can, like, search your family history that we helped destroy.
That we murdered,
I know, I was listening to that while I was cleaning at my client's house, and, like, whew, you could eat off their bathroom floor. I was so mad, I was scrubbing so hard.
This is what Rusty said. The gift from the church will strengthen Native American and other families by creating within the museum a family search center. This center will make it possible for visitors to the museum to receive help in preserving personal histories, researching for ancestors, and building their own family trees. Which I get it. That's a good, it's a good gesture. You know, like, it's a, but at the same time, it's just like, do you realize the problematic history, you know? And then, like, not even acknowledging that, like, oh, we did have problematic history and we're trying to do that better. He didn't, there was nothing, none of that.
No,
it was like, hey,
you can't acknowledge that they did something
here's
wrong.
White man, and we're still going to just try and, like, give you $2 million.
Did they ask for the $2 million? Is this something that they, like, requested? Like, hey, we would like to have this thing? Or did the church just decide they needed this?
Kind of. So the First Americans Museum is also, it's already established, and it's very, like, well-known. It's a beautiful museum. And I think they just, I think they saw an opportunity. It might have been requested. I don't know. We might get into that later. I don't know. It's been a while since I've actually looked at this information. Let's see. Just a few hours before the member devotional, Elder Kyle S. McKay, a General Authority 70, I have no idea. Like, I think he came up and talked, and I was like, who the fuck are you? And a member of the North America Southwest Area Presidency presented the church's gift during a reception at the early, recently opened museum. Positioned along the Oklahoma River, the First Americans Museum shares the collective histories and contributions of dozens of Native American tribes in Oklahoma today. The church's $2 million contribution will be used to build a permanent family search center at the museum and fill other needs. The future center will also include digital interactive exhibits for Native American families. The First Americans Museum, noted President Nelson, is a reminder to everyone of their own ancestors and for our deep gratitude for those who have come here from different countries and traditions. Isn't that just... Oh,
My God.
Yeah, just like... It sounds nice, though. Like, it's a good soundbite, you know?
Yeah.
And but not watching it and knowing the history, you're just like, fuck you, you know?
Seriously.
All right. So, museum director James Pepper Henry. I like that. James Pepper Henry. I like that name, actually. I don't know why. Pepper. Told the church news that the Sunday, October 17th gathering was a fantastic event. Several Native American Latter-day Saints participated in the event, along with Oklahoma City Mayor David Holt, City Councilwoman Nikki Nice, and several other civic and tribal leaders. The church's gift in the future family center, he added, will allow the museum to realize its goal for people to research their Native American genealogy and ancestry. This will be a great asset not only for the First Americans Museum, but for Native Americans in general. Pepper Henry noted the efforts of Elder McKay, Elder Paul B. Piper, a General Authority 70, and all these other people. He lists all the people. Pepper Henry visited Family Search headquarters in Salt Lake City last year, in 2020, to learn more about the church's family history resources, particularly those associated with Native American communities in the United States. Now working with Family Search, we will be able to reconnect families, he said. So reconnect, just like reconnect families that were, you were, this is a group of people that poor children, Native American and indigenous children from their families and put them into white homes so that they could be whitewashed and cultured, quote unquote,
cultured,
and also put
yeah.
into those schools where they were abused and treated like shit, and then but taught to erase their culture,
mm-hmm.
and now there's
killed.
Like and killed, yes, and
yeah, unmarked graves,
mm-hmm. mass graves, right? Isn't it like,
mm-hmm. Yep.
And now they're like, oh, but now we got Family Search, so you can reconnect families. Well, maybe if you had not, like, disconnected families.
Maybe if you just, like, left them alone and, like, didn't take over their land and, like, kill their fish stock. And
mm-hmm.
maybe they wouldn't have been needed to be reunited.
Let's see. So they were hoping to have the Family Search Center up and running by summer 2022. First Americans feel the yearning to find their ancestors, and we feel with our Family Search technology we can make this happen. Elder McKay said, we are donating our expertise and consultants who can build a center suited to the needs of the museum. President Gray told the Church News that the First Americans Museum is already proving to be a great unifying force, and it is an incredible facility helping Indigenous people better understand their roots, histories, cultures, and languages. Which I think is fantastic. That part I all about. But like, I just didn't like the church coming in and being like, hey, yeah, here's $2 million. You can start searching your family search that our ancestors were involved in,
instrumental
in tearing you up and like murdering your ancestors, you know, like.
Yeah. I feel a certain way about calling them First Americans too, because they didn't call the land America,
right?
You know, like Canada, they thought that Canada meant, like, when the people came to Canada and asked the Indigenous people, like, what is this land, there was like a miscommunication and they said Canada just means village.
Oh,
so they called the country Canada, but that's not, like, that's not what they were just saying, this is our village that they were bringing. So to call them, like, if we were to call them First Canadians, that doesn't make sense, you know? So I just feel like a certain way about, like, the First Americans. Well, like, they didn't call it, like, that's a colonization word.
That's true. I don't know. And the only reason and I get what you're saying, but it seems as though the Native Americans that are involved in that museum are okay with it.
They're okay. Well, that's, I mean, I'm just saying, I just personally feel a weird way about, like, we're the First Americans. And I'm like, but you were something before you were Americans.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was I going to say? God damn it, my brain. It doesn't work all the time. All right, so First Americans. Fast forward 2 years. So last year, it was like last June.
Oh, yeah, because it was supposed to be 2022. It was supposed to be ready to go, right?
Mm-hmm. So it is not.
It's not.
Yeah. $2 million. This is from News on 6. That's all I have written down here. For some reason, I didn't do more, but. A $2 million deal between the First Americans Museum and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was dissolved shortly after it was announced in 2021. The dissolution of the deal, first reported by the Oklahoman, has recently resurfaced because of a podcast. The church, most people don't know about this either. Like, they don't even
know. I had no idea.
That it got, like,
it got dissolved.
I remember thinking, like, whatever happened to that? And I remember looking it up and I was like, oh, it's been dissolved. Like, it's not happening anymore. So, because I had a vested interest, because I had sat through this whole fucking thing.
Yeah, you listened to the bullshit. I'm just going to sit here and listen. I'm blown away.
The church had donated the $2 million to fund a genealogy center for Native Americans at the First Americans Museum. A celebration of this donation was held in October. By November, it was called off. So, literally the next month.
Did they have a big ceremony and, like, pass the big plaque to them? Like,
Oh no, they but they had a big old ceremony, like that whole devotional.
Yeah, like
was all
it was
about
a huge PR thing, and then they're like, just kidding, and they're not gonna talk about it.
Yeah, quietly they just dissolved it. So, after 2 years of silence, questions about the project and its ending have surfaced on social media after a podcast brought it to light. Mormonish podcast, available on YouTube, published an episode in October investigating the deal between the church and the museum. The Salt Lake Tribune subsequently reported on the dissolved deal. In 2021, First Americans Museum considered developing a genealogy center on its campus. The museum's chief executive, James Pepper Henry, said in a statement, "After careful deliberation, it was decided that it was beyond the scope of the museum's mission. This decision was respected by all parties concerned as no longer relevant. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints runs a nonprofit, Family Search, which is considered the world's largest genealogy database." And this is from December 16th, 2023, from the Salt Lake Tribune, written by Peggy Fletcher Stack, who we love. In a much publicized move, Latter-day Saint leaders announced a $2 million donation to the First Americans Museum in Oklahoma City. Several Native American Latter-day Saints participated in the 2021 event, the Church News reported, along with the Oklahoma City Mayor David Holt, City Councilwoman. Native Americans have been moved around so much from different places that a lot of our families have lost contact with each other, James Pepper Henry said in a Church News release. Having a center here is a way for us to reconnect our families together again. The gift from the church will strengthen Native Americans. Let's see, I'm going to fast forward here. So she's giving background. I should have deleted all that because we've already been there. Let's see. So Henry said at the time that he hoped to have the center up and running by summer 2022. Within weeks of the announcement, however, the museum returned the gift. The agreement between the First Americans Museum and the church related to a grant in the amount of $2 million for the creation of a family history resource center will be discontinued, Perry wrote on the museum website. FAM will return the grant funds and will suspend plans to develop the center until further notice. We thank the church for their understanding and generosity. Kennedy Sepulvado, the institution's communication specialist, said Tuesday that the project did not align with the museum mission at the time. The Utah-based faith removed its news release about the Native American donation from its website while making no public statement about the rejection. 2 years later, the church continues to maintain a dialogue with the museum and to support its mission. The episode was a mess of misunderstanding, explained Farina King, a Latter-day Saint and associate professor of Native American Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Family history is big in Indian country, King said, but establishing a center of the museum would need to be done in the right way so everyone will benefit.
Oh, I just don't like that he said Indian country. That was... Ugh.
Farina King, she's one of the associate professor of Native American Studies.
Oh, okay.
So
gives me like a startle every time I hear it.
So I grew up on a near a Ute reservation, and mm-hmm. Native American, when I hear Native American, it's not like they call themselves Native American.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that's the difference here between here and like Canada. Like I think there's definitely a Canadian indigenous.
Yeah, there's a different, like my auntie, she always called herself an Indian. And so I would never call her that. Like I would say like Native or whatever, but she has that term and she uses that term for herself. Yeah. But like here we would never, well, a lot of people still do, but we use Indigenous instead of.
I do think that's the more acceptable term, especially from a white person now. Mm-hmm.
I mean, she can call herself whatever she wants. Her people were here way before mine.
But the when I hear Indian country, that does make me
It just kind of gave me a, like, oh.
Well, and I do when I lived there. Like, there was sometimes Native was used like disparagingly, they're natives, you know, like. It's been interesting to like grow up like as an adult to look back on that and be like, oh, well, shit, you know, like, mm-hmm. and I recognize my own biases on that because, like, there was a lot of, like, us versus them there, you know, and
yeah. My high school was like 50-50 split. We had school council and then we had native school council. Like, it was very split and very, we weren't segregated, obviously, but like, my sister signed up to take Blackfoot studies and like, she was pulled into the office to be like, did you mean to sign up for that class? And she was like, yeah. And they were like, but you're white. And she was like, and I can't learn to speak Blackfoot. Like, it was very apparent that like, this is for the native kids. This is for the, you know, I don't know if it's like that still. I've been out of high school.
Oh, well, where I grew up, there was the native kids went to the indigenous kids went to a certain school. They could up until I think it was 6th grade, and then like a 7th grade they could choose to go to like to integrate with the white kids, yeah. I guess basically, yeah. Or they could, and there were some, I remember some in my elementary, so like you could have the choice to like go,
yeah, same here, yeah, you could go to Kai and I High School or you could go to Cardston High School.
Yeah. Oh, at high school they didn't have that at mine.
Oh, they didn't, hey.
They had the Ute school that they had was high school was like the bad kids, which anyway, but
yeah,
which is problematic in itself. Like I just okay, yeah. You know, and then the funding too, and there was always an issue because they had built this town, and I don't even know if it's like they built this high school specifically on the like a county line. So that it could bring in both sides, like from different counties, like, and so that you would bring in the Native American students from this other county in, and they did that specifically. It was called Union High School, so that they could union, like, combine the whites and the, like, the fact that that's even, like, this racist, like, yeah. I mean, a good idea, but it's also just like, oh, let's, you know, I don't know. I just, it's icky. Like, it's just this history of, like, of definitely us versus them, and then, like, I just remember we'd have, like, Native American Heritage Week, which I always thought was cool, but like the other white kids were like, oh, it's just, you know, like there's always like, you know, we have to sit through this assembly, we have to watch they're using those drums again during lunch, you know, and it was like,
oh,
I thought it was cool, but
yeah, I like when our high school was renovated while I was in high school, so I'd like walk from building to building out in the snow. It was great, but it was it was like a big grand opening, and it was blessed by like a chief and some elders, and there was like a smudging ceremony, and it was the coolest experience. But yeah, there was definitely kids that were like, this is dumb, this is so dumb, you know, and I was like, shut up, like half the students that go here, this is their culture, like why are you being so nasty.
Yeah
I spent a lot of time in Kainai, and like I do remember white kids being like, you went out to Kainai, isn't it like really dangerous? And I was like, no. Like, it's just a town on the reserve, like I don't understand, like it never made sense to me to like anyway, this is a random tangent about my high school experiences.
Well, but I had like some of my better friends were the Native American kids, like I liked hanging out with them more than, like, looking back on it, I had a lot of them, especially in elementary, like I hung out with, like, those were my friends.
Yeah, my cousins my cousins are Native American or indigenous. And yeah, like my cousin would always steal my truck, like while I was in class or whatever, and then he'd bring it back with a full tank, and I'd be like, oh, you don't have to do that. And he's like, it's cheap on the reserve. He'd always fill it up for me. Which is like, yeah, I guess maybe I had a different idea of it because like I had cousins that participated in powwows and, you know, and all of that sort of thing. So it was just always shocking to me when kids were like, when they would use native as a derogatory term, I'd be like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. My father would, he worked at the ER, and so he would see the bad side of like these indigenous people that would, you know, of course they've been forced off their land, they've been forced into these into these other situations that they didn't ask for.
No, they have
And
ancestral
so,
trauma that is just so.
ancestral trauma, they got
Oh.
generational trauma, they got addiction issues because they've had to like it's not something that's just gonna turn like
And
and
it's never been acknowledged, and it's never, they've never been given the permission to work through it. Like I read Five Little Indians by Michelle Good, which I suggest to anybody and everybody. It talks about residential schools and their lives afterwards, and it's of course there is trauma. Just reading what, and it's a fictional retelling of what actually happened. It's based on real people, but just even a fictionalized version, like of course there's trauma. I would be shocked if there wasn't serious trauma being handed down, and not being able to acknowledge and not being able to articulate what they went through and passing that down to their children, and their children not being able to. It blows my mind, and people being so dismissive and so racist when they don't even understand, they don't even know, you know?
Well, and like what Katie and Sarah were saying in their episode was about how it was like they had flourishing societies, and they had like it may not have seemed like to our, you know, the white man's whatever view of like, oh, they're not as advanced as we are, but they had societies where they were hunting and gathering, and they were doing like they had spirituality, they had culture, and it was a rich culture that was, and it sounded love like they
And they
talked
lived
about
in
that.
balance with the earth. Like they didn't clear cut to make space. They went to where they needed to be during those times of year.
They
Like,
had respect for the earth, yes,
yeah,
that
they
we
didn't
don't
fish
have.
more than they needed. They fished to feed their families, and then that was
Yep.
like, it just,
And I
oh.
remember the just the bison, like they that they would hunt, they used every single piece of that bison for everything that they used. Like they didn't leave anything unused. So they,
No waste, no
yeah,
waste. Yeah.
that's it. Yeah.
And now we're in a society where we're like, please stop wasting. Please
Yeah.
stop buying 17 Stanley mugs because you don't, you need one, just
Yeah.
one, just to drink out of. You don't need 17.
Yeah.
Stop filling our landfills and destroying our planet. Thank you.
Yeah. And then I liked how I should probably should have prefaced this before, but I wasn't sure. But I liked how they, as Katie and Sarah, prefaced theirs, but that we are speaking from a very white perspective. And so, if listeners, if you have more information on even this situation with this family search center that they were going to build in Oklahoma, if you but yeah, like, and speaking about the culture, I'm speaking from my experience as far as like a white kid that grew up in near Ute Indians who were definitely very othered in the society, but like I didn't know as a kid, and I feel like I'm learning more as an adult and seeing it in hindsight and being like, oh, that's why they acted that way, and that's why there was all that this conflict between them and there was actually no moves to resolve that, and there's no moves to, yeah, you can embrace their culture, you know, by giving them a week at school, but like, is that actually enough? No. And it's also like recognizing that we are living on their land and that our ancestors had part of destroying their cultures.
Yeah.
And the least we can do is let them like have the voice and to like say, hey, here's your time, like here, tell us more about your culture, like bring it, you know, we want to hear about this.
Yeah,
And
absolutely. Anytime we have a meeting here or even a hockey game, when the hockey game starts, it pops up and it shows like an overview of like the land, and it says we acknowledge that we are participating in this game on Treaty 7 land that is the home of, and then it lists all the tribes and the different, every hockey game it says, we acknowledge the land. There's a land acknowledgement. Anytime we have like a political party, even in just my like caucus association, there is a land acknowledgement before the meeting starts. Anything that happens, big, little, there is always a land acknowledgement now, which is like a huge movement in the right direction, I think. I love That's it. Cool. Yeah, it's incredible. It's really incredible to just be like, this is a good step forward. There's so much more work to do. But just before we drop the puck on the ice, saying this is native land. And we are living on the land of these people.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. Yeah, oh, man, really the cool. uproar that would cause it in America. Oof.
Oh, I could, yeah. I could, anyways. Yeah. I sometimes wonder how, like, the American fans that come up to, like, Toronto or to... we don't get a lot of American fans in Calgary. Some people from Montana, maybe. But I would just wonder how they feel about that happening and... if they're like, come on, get to the hockey game. Or if they're like, this is really cool to like acknowledge that like this is not, you know, Calgary was something before it was Calgary. And that's good to, you know, recognize that.
I saw a map of like the, and I don't know how, like, the thing is like history is so convoluted now. But I saw a map of like it laid out all the tribes throughout the, from all the Americas, like it had the even down to like Puerto Rico and Cuba and all that, like it went and all the way through Mexico and everything, and just kind of all the tribes that existed all the way up into Alaska. And it was just, it was interesting to see how they how it like laid out. It was just like, that's so, like, why aren't we taught this stuff? Like, we're like in Utah, we were taught, oh yeah, about Ute history a little bit, but it wasn't like, it was very whitewashed, and it was very, yeah. So anyway,
I found the short version of the land acknowledgement. It says, in the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge that we live, work, and play on the traditional territories of the Blackfoot Confederacy. And then it names them all. So Siksika, Kainai, Piikani, Tsuut'ina, I can never say this properly, excuse me, and the Métis Nations with Alberta District 6, and all people who make their homes in the Treaty 7 region of Southern Alberta. So it's very short, but it's laying out, and I, again, apologize that I can't say those names. I need to work on that, especially under pressure. But it does acknowledge all the people that lived on this land, and I think that's just, it's an incredible step forward, for sure.
Yeah. Just to wrap this one part up, let's see, let's see, who is it? Farina King, that, she's an LDS associate professor at the University, of Oklahoma. She said, a family search center was supposed to be a celebration of coming together where everyone cares about families, but there was not enough discussion between the parties, King said, before the announcement of the contribution. So they didn't even really talk about it. They just kind of were like, here, we're going to give you $2 million for this search center. Mm. So locals wondered if they could trust the LDS church where the money was coming from. She said, were there strings attached? Which, ooh. I kind of thought that too. I was like,
yeah.
What are they getting at? Like, anyway.
Yeah.
Some worried that the center might be staffed by Latter-day Saint missionaries, possibly proselytizing to patrons.
100%.
Others were concerned that their deceased ancestors would be baptized vicariously. Latter-day
Saints. That's already done, honey. Already done.
Names of departed ancestors and living time. Oh, yeah. It takes work to earn Native Americans' trust, King said, especially on sensitive issues. Failure to build the Family Search Center is too bad, said Randy Gibson, a Latter-day Saint and a Cherokee who was in Oklahoma at the time. Native Americans have such strong oral histories, said Gibson, now a communication specialist in Provo. It would have been a good way to share them with the world.
I see both sides of it. I get the wanting to have, like I said, we are losing our history and our ancestry and our culture because nobody talks about it. So I can understand wanting a tangible way to, because yes, they are very oral historians, and it's stories that are told through the generations, and it would be incredible to have like a record of those stories. So I get that side of it, but I also get the side of like, leave us alone.
Yeah.
Because those names get input into that system, and then yes, the temple work is done. Those feed directly into the temples.
So, and I just had an idea that, why didn't they just, maybe it was mishandled in that, like, why didn't they just give the money to the tribe to do how they want to?
Mm-hmm.
Use it how you will. Say, like, hey, this is a donation to you to work with Family Search, and you decide how you want to use that and put that money. And we will have nothing to do with it. It's your money. It's just something that we're doing as a gift. And rather than like putting this big show and saying, look what we're doing for the indigenous people. We're so indigenously minded, and not even acknowledging in that moment that, hey, we have a problematic history with us. And this is a part of our way.
It's a reconciliation step.
A reconciliation step. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And it could have been done privately with the tribes involved and said, hey, this is something we want to do. What is your interest level? We want to help you like research your family's search and everything. But we don't want to have anything to do. We don't want there to be strings attached. We just want to give the money and you do what you will. Like, why did there have to be that connection? And
because they needed the
give
PR.
That strings attached. And give that worry to that, like, oh, there are guaranteed there would have been missionaries there proselytizing because they're going to use
that opportunity. My grandma's calling. She works in the Family Research Center. Like, that's her church calling right now.
Yeah. And it might have been LDS, like indigenous LDS people, like from, you know, Cherokee or whatever, but they still
every member of Missionary
the church,
Jake.
You know? Yeah. And so, the church would have to have its name involved in that thing. So I understand why they were like, we're good.
Yeah. Like in our libraries, you can go to our library computer and you can log into Family Search. There's a free library specific way to use it. Has nothing to do with the church. I mean, again, it still feeds into that temple work, but you don't have to go to like an LDS Family Search center. You can go to our public library system and access it. Why not do something like that? Like, why not just give $2 million to the museum and say this is to contribute
exactly
to
exactly what I'm saying. Like,
you know,
give it to the museum or give it to the tribes to use how they will. Like, if you're gonna do something like that and have it be, and you can make it a PR thing and just say like, just like a little press release, just a quick one that says, hey, this is something we did. We don't want it to be a big thing. We're just, and then We'll follow up with like what they did with the money, maybe.
Yeah.
If we so choose, you know, like if you're interested, we will let you know. We could let you know, kind of thing. Instead of this connection of, oh, we're gonna baptize all these people, or you know, like.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really, that stone rolling until it covers the earth, right? Like they have to be. It's their operating system of they have to fill the four corners of the earth with the gospel, or what the fuck.
Which I'm like, okay, that stone is not rolling because it's like it's like coming to a halt,
splittering off.
Like it's just
lots of pebbles falling off the rolls.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's I think the Family Search side of it is really cool. Like what you're talking about, like you finding your ancestors, and like it is a good tool for like people, indigenous people, to find their, but also that's, they have such an unwritten history. Like how would they actually even go about finding all that?
I think that's part of the problem is the church is thinking they're going to input this information and we're going to have the ability to baptize those people. And I feel like probably the native people were thinking like, we don't need that to be given to you, because exactly like it said in the article, are they going to use it for baptisms without authorization from the family. Yes, of course they are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, you don't get to say, no, you can't baptize my third great grandfather. You don't get to make that choice. They just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, yeah, once you've been in the system for a year, I think it is, if your family hasn't come forward to baptize you, then you go into the general list of names that baptisms for the dead are done for or whatever. I think it's a year. Might be 2 years.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, there's a timeline on it. Yeah.
That seems so intrusive. I hate it.
It is. It really is. It's making decisions for people that are not giving their consent. Their family's not giving consent. Mm-hmm. It's very intrusive, especially coming from like a tribe that has their own spiritual practices and beliefs and saying, we know better than you.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's very icky. It's just very more colonization.
Yep. Yeah. And like, as you were saying too, like these people in the way back had lives, they had culture, they had personality, they had like things that they believed in. And even if they weren't, like, there could have been people that were Christian in my family that hated being Christian, you know, like it yeah. could be, you know, but then they're probably, or, you know, they got brought into the Mormon church and never, you know,
yeah.
whatever, and then wanted to leave but just didn't, you know. So there mm-hmm. there could be so many different stories, and then they're like, oh, but we baptized them so that they can quote, yeah. make that choice on the other side. Okay,
yeah,
we
don't like my
that's thing that's happening.
My grandpa baptized my grandmother, so her whole family, she's the first one, and so of course she's done all her temple work. And I'm like, but you don't, like, what? Like, you can't make that decision for them. They have their own lives. Ah,
yeah.
I know, I'm beating a dead horse. I say this all the time, but anyway, that's interesting. I'm shocked. I'm not shocked though. I was shocked
that it was like right after.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
It was like immediate.
I'm not shocked that the church was like, we're not gonna talk about it. We'll just remove it from the. Just remove it from the website. Just take that down. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like, it's not anywhere, like, on their website anymore. It's on, yeah. it's from that podcast was able to find it. And then, yeah, there's just been very little has been said about why it was dissolved. And I think they were trying to keep good relations with also the fact that, like, the donation was, like, given without, like, much discussion before. It was just like, yeah, here, right. we're here to give you this thing that you didn't ask for.
Yeah, but make sure that there's cameras on it, and you know, journalists are there in the audience, and
that the president of the church is going to come out and talk, so of course it's got to be a big deal. They had like this whole, they had like musical numbers, they had like a whole thing of like the history of the place there, like they had like a video that they played.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
They made, and then like hole. Something about humanitarian stuff that they were doing, like this group that was doing stuff there, but I don't, yeah.
It makes me enraged.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me enraged, especially as a Canadian who knows that there's multiple communities on reservations that don't have drinking water, that have been under boil advisory for years. Like,
oh yeah.
Fuck off with your donation and take care of your people.
Oh, speaking of... There was a release of how much money and the Salt Lake Tribune covered this, but the how much money the church donated
yeah.
in humanitarian efforts. And it was
I saw like it on Reddit,
$2 billion? No, not
1.36.
$1.36 billion. And I was yeah. like, I did the math, and it's 0.26% of their worth.
Yeah. It's like, even more than that. It's members donating time. They've put a monetary value on that. It's not even
real money. Like, it's
they're
not...
taking hours that members have donated to cleaning the buildings and working in humanitarian aid centers, and that's they've put a monetary value on membership's hours, and that they have said they have donated it. It's not money. It's not money.
The whole thing isn't money?
I think there is some money, but the majority of it is hourly time that members have put in working in humanitarian food distribution centers or in food banks or going to do work in like a Bishop's Storehouse to build that up. it's not, they did not send money. It's people like you and I who are like standing at like a flood relief tent and handing out basic food.
So it's even worse than I thought. Like, I thought that like the monetary, like it's 0.26%. If it were monetary, it would be 0.26% of their worth.
Yeah.
And so that's it's probably even like 0.01 of the money. Like, if that.
Yeah. And what's her name? Mackenzie's, Jeff Bezos' ex-wife. I don't like saying that. Yeah, she's a person. She donated $2.2 billion herself. And Mackenzie Scott, that's her name. Mackenzie Scott donated $2.2 billion personally. And she has not been commanded to care for the needy and the sick.
Yeah.
Just throwing, throwing that out there. She's not a corporation. Yes, she has a shit ton of money because of who she was married to. But like, she has no religious ties that she's supposed to. She just did it.
She's just doing it.
She's donated $2.2 billion, more than the church did, of actual money, with like tax receipts. There's receipts.
That actually does some stuff for people.
Yeah, sorry, I'm getting really fired up and yelling at you. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I commented on it, like on the Salt Lake Tribune post about it, because I was like, oh, cute. They did 0.26% of their,
Anyway. And it's not even, because
that's interesting, because I didn't even think about it being like them putting them. How is that legal to like, I'm just going to put a monetary value on people's time and then call it a donation?
That's I'll see if I can find the post, but because somebody was like, a family member sent this to me and I don't know how to respond. And somebody responded, Mackenzie Scott just donated $2.2 billion. Like, that's all you need to say. It was amazing. Oh, I can't find it. Anyways. But yeah, I just thought, it's because I'm not walking. All right, well, never mind. We'll just forget that. I can't find it. Reason I logged out on my laptop.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's fun. I've been raging.